This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Go 24-7 podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and once again, we have the whole staff here. Billy Embody, Sonny Ship, Shay Dixon, and myself, Matthew Bruni. And in case y'all didn't know, Brian Kelly is the new head coach at LSU. A massive, massive shift in the college football landscape. We knew Scott Woodward was going to go big game hunting. And lo and behold, even after Lincoln Riley said that he was not going to be the head coach at LSU, which we kind of assumed going into it, Shay and I have a lengthy podcast on that from last week, so go check that out if you haven't already, because a lot of those points are still interesting looking back at them. But it didn't matter. Scott Woodward goes and gets Brian Kelly, one of the winningest coaches in college football history, and I believe has the most wins right now of an active head coach. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about our reaction to it and all that good stuff. If you're on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, leave us a like, comment, share it, all that good stuff. If you're on a podcast, we appreciate you for listening as well. All right, let's go around. Let's silence our phones, Shay, just like the Orgeron press conference. Or was it an Orgeron presser? I think it was. And I want to start with Billy and Sonny, because like I said, Shay and I did a podcast last week talking about the whole Riley situation, the lead up to it and everything. But starting with you, Billy, where did you feel like LSU was at before yesterday? I mean, because there was the whole Riley situation, just the whole uncertainty. What was your feeling as the whole process was unfolding?
Well, I think the one thing that we reiterated a few times on the board was that Brian Kelly wanted a big name. Most people kind of felt like it was going to be somebody that, you know, was going to be hired relatively quickly after the season, just because he had all this time to make this hire. He had his ducks in a row. That was kind of the prevailing thought from most people. And of course, there were qualifiers like, well, this coach could be in a conference championship game, or what if they make the playoff? But in the end, it didn't matter. You know, that was the thing that, you know, we found out, is that LSU ultimately had Brian Kelly lined up with you know, this massive contract. And kudos to Scott Woodward. And whether this, quite honestly, came together in a way really quickly, or Scott Woodward knew something early on in the search, we're not going to know until we hear from Scott himself, in my opinion, from what it seems like, at least. You know, Brian Kelly was even in home with a recruit on Monday night when the news broke that he was going to be the next head coach at LSU. And so from my vantage point, we saw the reports of Lincoln Riley. We saw, Jimbo Fisher had been floated. We'd seen all these different names kind of pop up. And Brian Kelly was the one kind of out of left field that no one even bet online in terms of the odds, didn't even have him listed as an LSU candidate for the odds that people could throw some money down on. And that kind of reiterates what we kind of knew about Scott Woodward, is that he can go big game hunting, and for the most part, he can do it quietly, and he can do it without anybody really finding out. And he kept his circle so tight. And so for us, I think we handled it in that respect, that, look, he's not telling anyone. There were rumors last week of, oh, you know, it's leaking out, it's Lincoln Riley, there's a meeting this date, and there's going to be an announcement coming on Monday, or, depends on if they lose in Bedlam or what have you. And, you know, everybody was chasing the idea that LSU would make a hire right after the season. That was true. We knew they were going to spend a good bit of money. That's true. 10 years, $95 million, going to push over $100 million with incentives. And ultimately, it was a big name, and just about as big of a name as you could get on the coaching carousel, and Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. And it happened right at the end of the season, which is something that, for the most part, we felt like Scott Woodward would be able to navigate, manage, and get done.
Yeah. Sonny, what did you see, and how would you kind of put everything in perspective from the coaching search overall?
Well, you know, in the very beginning, and I go back to when we, you know, when we were trying to, you know, when we were assembling our first hot board, and, you know, there were a group of coaches that, you know, I considered that I thought were unattainable. Those being Nick Saban, for obvious reasons, Dabo Sweeney, which I think for obvious reasons as well, Jim Harbaugh. He's at the place that he, you know, that he loved, that he played at, Ryan Day, and then Brian Kelly. I put Brian Kelly in that category because all of his coaching experience had been in the Midwest. He was a Massachusetts native, and never really had whenever big jobs in the Southeast, you know, even in the Southwest came up. His name got mentioned a little bit, but not much. And so I think that led many, including myself, to believe that, okay, this is a Midwesterner who's probably going to always spend his time up in the Midwest. He's 60 years old, the winningest coach in, you know, which I consider one of the most iconic, you know, one of the most iconic institutions in America, a storied football program. I mean, you're talking about a guy who won more games than Newt Rockne. We all know how, you know, synonymous that name is in Notre Dame circles. So when I looked at all of that stuff together, you know, in my mind, I was like, man, there's no way this guy's going to want to, you know, that he's going to want to leave. Well, when you start tossing around, you know, I've seen, you know, some people toss around, you know, $15 million figure. That's what LSU shelled out. Well, in the release that came out, we saw that it was a 10-year $9.5 million deal. So it's not like LSU threw this crazy amount of money at him that, you know, no one else was willing to pay. I mean, hell, Michigan State just ponied up $9.5 million for Mel Tucker, who had a losing record going into this season. Yeah. So, you know, in hindsight, I look back and I'm like, man, I sure wish I'd have had Brian Kelly on that initial hot board. But then at the same time, who did? You know, who right. did have him out there? I mean, I just thought it was such a long shot, you know. And, you know, as far as like how Billy touched on how we covered it and stuff, you know, the one thing that I'm really – that I'm glad and that I'm proud of the way we covered it is we were okay with not knowing.
Yeah.
We were okay with knowing we were not going to know either. And I think I think some in the media – could not accept that. And, you know, I guess that, you know, we've got a lot of experience between, you know, the staff as a whole on this mm-hmm. site. We've been doing it for a while. And I think we really, I'm proud of the way that we shared information and that we ran things by others. You know, I know for a morning buzz I had written up, you know, I was like, hey, Shay, take a look at this and stuff. And, you know, and just kind of to try to corroborate,
yeah,
I guess what we didn't know, if that makes sense. And so, you know, in hindsight, I'm glad it's over. Now we can start focusing on recruiting. But what a ride.
Yeah.
What a wild ride.
Shay, we can start going around and giving our initial takes on the hire, what we think, all that good stuff. Obviously, since we last did the Lincoln Riley podcast, a lot's changed. I'm sure this was obviously in the works more than just the past few days. But what do you think about the hire, how it played out, and just how Woodward kind of handled it?
Well, clearly they kept things quiet, and we'll never know how far along they really got with Lincoln. But regardless, I mean, whether you put together Brian Kelly over a month and a half or you put him together in 24 hours, it comes out as a good hire. I mean, the results are there. He's had five straight 10-plus win seasons at Notre Dame. You know he's done it at a blue blood. And probably from the start, and I said this yesterday, we should have just had Brian Kelly on the list, because when you look at what – if Woodward was big game hunting and he's known as going after people who are proven and all of this stuff, well, Brian Kelly's resume stacks up with the best of the best. And at 61 years old, some people are saying, oh, well, that seems a little old, and maybe, you know, maybe it is. But he's had a real way – of surrounding himself with really good coordinators. He's had a good way of surrounding himself with good staff members. And notably younger. And I think they probably carry a lot of the weight in recruiting, a lot of the weight in terms of keeping their position groups together and not having guys, you know, come in and within a year transfer and out. I think stability is probably something Woodward liked here. It seems that Kelly's known for that with the programs he inherits, takes over, and then builds on from there. We saw him do it at Cincinnati right away. And then he's done that, obviously, at Notre Dame for more than a decade. So it's not a surprising name that Woodward ultimately landed here. I mean, it matches when you're trotting him out at a press conference and saying he's the winningest coach in college football right now across all divisions, if you're dating back to his D2 wins. And then behind Saban, he's got the best win percentage of any head coach that's been around for the past 15 plus years. So the combination of veteran experience, the combination of winning percentage, being right there behind Saban, that's all stuff you can sell to a fan base. So people will say, I don't know about the fit. You know, he's never been out of the Midwest. He's never been down in the South. He's never recruited down here. All that. And we'll see how all pans out. But the reality, too, it's 61 years old. He left a cush job with a blue blood to go into the SEC that's expanding right now and compete in the SEC West. That tells me that he's still got some goals and aspirations in mind of what he wants to put on his final resume, and being in a school like LSU is part of that.
Yeah, that was honestly the main thing for me, is the one reason LSU fans should be excited, because this guy clearly chose to come here and wanted to come here. And it was a situation where I can start to understand now why Billy Napier wasn't considered, why other names that maybe we thought should have been considered, or a lot of fans thought should have been considered, weren't considered. And it comes down to Scott Woodward was never going to take anything less than a big name. There was no chance in that. And to me, it's like, I just thought of this analogy when I was, you know, writing up stuff. I was like, it's like when you have a computer and it's been working fine, and then, you know, at the end of its life, it's like not really running that well. And you're like, screw it, I'm going to go spend $1,000 on a computer, $1,200 on a computer. I'm not settling for a $600 computer, even though it would probably work fine. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go all out. And that's basically how I felt Scott Woodward approached this. There was no chance that he was going to take anything less than that. Now, looking back on it, like all the names thrown around, I have a big whiteboard now with a bunch of names on there. And I'm just like, there was no chance he was going to go after like Matt Campbell, I feel like, at this point. And so I think it's a great hire, because like I said, I think this is Brian Kelly's one shot here. I mean, not to, again, Notre Dame, you have plenty of opportunities, but we saw what happened on those opportunities, right? The 2012 championship, they get run out the building. 2018, they get smoked. And 2020, they lose. Those are all the opportunities that he had to win a college championship, and none of them came to fruition. So he looked at LSU as a clear step up as far as recruiting goes and as far as just opportunity to win goes. And I think that for him, this is him going all in. And that should really be exciting to LSU fans. And even though he obviously comes from the Midwest, and like you said, I didn't think there was a chance that he would leave there, it shows how willing he is to change his life, to do something that he's never done in order to win. And that should be really exciting, because he checks all the other boxes. He wins, he recruits, he develops NFL talent. I mean, I thought this was a home run hire from the outset. And I think a lot of LSU fans agree with us in the terms that they think it's a very good hire as well. But yeah, no, I'm all in. I think this is a great hire. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, but I couldn't ask for anything more from Scott Woodward and company. Billy, what do you think overall of the hire and Brian Kelly as a coach?
Yeah, I spoke with a source who's a former staffer at Notre Dame and coached under Brian Kelly. And I asked him, I was like, what was he like to work for? What really stands out to him? And the thing that I'm pulling up my notes right now, good dude, which is important, will hire the right people around him and set a good standard. And we'll have some more notes on this on the board because we had a pretty in-depth discussion. But that was the takeaway right there. And then I asked him specifically about recruiting and if, you know, he thinks that that'll translate really well to Baton Rouge, because everybody kind of knows sometimes the requirements of Notre Dame and the academics and, you know, maybe how hard it is to recruit to South Bend and things like that. And he just said, I think it's a little bit of a combo of them being Notre Dame, that brand, that logo, that image, all of those things, and having to recruit nationally. He can do that really well. And his personality, and this is what another big thing that stood out to me, his personality is such that he can sit down and do well with all types of kids, which I think if you look at how LSU has to recruit Louisiana, number one, and where they've kind of been hurt is not being able to do as well nationally recruiting elite talent to fill spots like offensive line. 2022 class is kind of an exception with Will Campbell, Emory Jones being in the state of Louisiana, but you normally would need to go out and find other elite talented players at different positions. And if Brian Kelly can sit there and connect well with all sorts of different people, that's really important when it comes to building a national brand back up with LSU on the recruiting front. Everybody knows the LSU brand, but again, landing those elite talent, talents has been kind of an issue nationally. And Brian Kelly having that national recruiting acumen is really something that I think is going to stand out. And then obviously the connection with Walker Howard, it's the lone school that Walker's ended up visiting. That is just really an awesome, awesome piece to this puzzle that Walker Howard's been up there, met with Brian Kelly. If he brings Tommy Reese as an offensive coordinator, that's a plus. You don't make a hire for a recruit or for a recruiting class. I'm a big believer of that, but it's just kind of poetic that Walker Howard had gone up there and visited Brian Kelly in Notre Dame. So it just seems to really check all the boxes.
Yeah, I feel like his ability to sell the Notre Dame brand is something that can translate really well to LSU when talking on a national perspective, obviously. Because obviously you could sell LSU to Louisiana. You can even sell it to a lot of Texas and maybe even some Florida or whatever, a lot of pieces of the South. But he's going and getting players from all across the country at Notre Dame. And I feel like that's going to help them out. Sonny, that, like we talked about, there's some concern from some fans about the fit and him being from Northwest. Does that concern you at all from any perspective or no?
No, it doesn't really concern me. And, you know, I think a big reason is that at Notre Dame, he had to recruit nationally, like Billy touched on. So he hasn't had, you know, I'm imagining, I don't know how many high schools there are in South Bend. I've been up there, but I don't know the landscape all that well. But I'm imagining that there's not a big, a big pipeline and just a huge hotbed in the state of Indiana. And so as a result of that, he's had to go into a lot of different cultures to recruit kids. And, you know, regardless of the academic standards, you're still having to go in and deal with a lot of different, a lot of different backgrounds, kids in a lot of different places around the country to where the cultures are much different. And so I'm not concerned about that at all. I think when you look at his, when you look at his age, some may be worried about that. I mean, look, for someone who's weeks away from hitting 50 myself, I can, my wife would tell you all the time, act like I'm two. You know, she's got three kids here in the house and stuff. So I think age is something that is easy to put a finger on because it's something that you can quantify. But it's not, he might be 60. He might, he could be 60, 61 years old. But, he might be 45 inside. Nick Saban, no one thinks he's, he's as old as he is as long as he's been doing what he is. So I'm not worried about the age either. It's all about the fire. It's all about the fire that someone has. And by him leaving what I consider a pretty comfortable position in South Bend, for him to leave that and to go into the pressure cooker that is the SEC West, he is looking forward to, he wants the challenge of dethroning Alabama. He wants the challenge of having to run through the gauntlet that the SEC West and the SEC schedule presents, on an annual basis. He wants all of that stuff. People say, well, he's leaving his team at Notre Dame right now. He's walking out on his team. No, he's not walking out on his team. He's walking towards his team. He's walking towards the program that he now represents and that he is now employed by. So I love the hire. I love the resume. I don't need to rehash the resume. I love the resume, and you know, I love everything about it. In the beginning, I love James Franklin. The slide he went on kind of tarnished the view that I had on him. Hey, I love the idea of, you know, the thought of Lincoln Riley running the program. The biggest reason was probably because of his age and the longevity that he could have, even though he always, you know, I think he's always had an eye on the NFL. But, you know, with Brian Kelly, what I like that eases those concerns is that he seems to have a fairly young staff. He's, you know, very well respected. He can hire good coordinators. And as long as he surrounds himself with what I consider good young coordinators, then, you know, I think you're kind of setting your program up for the future. So I love the hire all the way around.
Yeah. Well, Shay, looking back at the recruiting, because Billy touched on recruiting a lot, when we look at the class from LSU's perspective, do you feel like it's going to help them keep players in? Obviously, Eli Ricks, I think in the morning, said that he was not planning on returning. He was staying in the transfer portal. And then when you look at it, could you even see some Notre Dame commit possibly flipping over to LSU?
I think it's too early to answer all that. And with Walker Howard, we know the answer, that he already liked Brian Kelly. He likes Tommy Rees. We'll see if Tommy Rees comes. But Notre Dame was the number two team for him. And he said, look, I'm waiting to see who LSU hires. And it sort of seemed like if LSU hired someone that he didn't like, or LSU hired someone that guy brought quarterbacks with him, that if Walker didn't go to LSU, it would be Notre Dame. Now that he's probably staying at LSU. And he's already gone on the record and made comments about they'll win national championships with Brian Kelly, all of this. A lot of the other guys, and we've heard it from everyone from Will Campbell to others, are saying, hey, look, everyone's excited about the hire. I just have never met him. I don't know him. So I think it's important that they've gotten him down here. He's flying down on Tuesday. There'll be a press conference on Wednesday. You'll then immediately this weekend, we'll start to see guys come in on visits. And obviously Brian Kelly will be a part of that. He's going to put together a staff pretty quickly here behind the scenes. And we'll see when all of that goes public. But I think we have to wait until then. And here's another reason. And I was talking Emory Jones, for instance. This is another kind of can describe it here. A guy like that, you're an offensive lineman. Well, I've heard about the new head coach. I'm from Baton Rouge. It sounds great. But who's my O-line coach? Is it Brad Davis? Is he bringing someone else with him? Do I need to get a new relationship with that person? So until we know who everyone's position coach is, it's going to be tough to say, oh, don't worry about that guy. No doubt. He's locked in. That's still a bit of a waiting game. But the biggest domino you had to drop was the head coach. That's happened now. So once Kelly gets here, once he can start talking to guys and their parents on the phone, we'll start to find more about that. But I think the key piece will be, who are these position coaches? How quickly can they get the guys locked in at their position? And then do they bring, you know, if you're a whoever at Notre Dame, if your head coach is leaving and your position coach, do you say, hey, I've got a one-time free transfer. I'm going to go with them, or I'm going to go for, you know, transfer into the SEC. We've got, you can think about guys like Logan Diggs at Rummel from a year ago. He went past signing day in December because he'd gotten an LSU offer. And he said, by February, you know what? I'm going to stick. I'm at Notre Dame. That's where I'll go. And he played a lot as a true freshman this year. Well, now his head coach is back in Baton Rouge, an hour from where he's grown up, where all of his family is. So there'll be guys to monitor for sure. And then Notre Dame has the number four class in the country. They recruit nationally. How many of those guys committed to Notre Dame, the school? How many of them committed thinking, I want this position coach, or whatever it might be? We'll have to monitor all that. We'll do some stories on it. We'll get with Tom Loy up at the Notre Dame site and get his opinion, with Wilt Fong, our national recruiting analyst, of what they think maybe some of these guys will do if they've been diehard Notre Dame no matter what, or if they might be a candidate to look around. But on the recruiting front, it's, for me, beyond Walker Howard, it's still too early to say about anybody, because a lot of these guys are going to be meeting Brian Kelly for the first time. Howard obviously has already had the luxury of sitting down in person with him multiple times.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how many, and this will kind of open it up to a degree. So if y'all have anything to say, just go ahead. But it's interesting to me because I think it was reported, what was it, Corey Raymond and Coach Falk will be returning. I think that was at least a report, a rumor or something like that. And then off that, you get a bunch of fans saying, you know, well, Coach Baker did a good job with linebackers. You know, you go down the list and you're like, I don't know how much they can realistically keep with Brian Kelly coming in, because obviously the connections that Brian Kelly has are impressive in themselves.
Yeah, I'll weigh in there real quick because I'm high on Marcus Freeman as defensive coordinator. Notre Dame did not name a head coach, an interim head coach. A lot of people thought that Freeman would be in the mix there. Obviously, people are trying to put together pieces of if Luke Fickell was hired by Notre Dame, would Freeman get offered the job at Cincinnati? We'll have to see how all that goes. But I'm hearing that there's a chance here, and maybe it's moving towards a likelihood that Freeman will go down to Baton Rouge and be the DC as well. He'd be the highest paid DC in the country. Is what's being reported, even coming out of South Bend. So I'm getting that from down here. That's coming out of South Bend. So Freeman very much on the table, and was also just told that the only person right now beyond Austin Thomas, the GM, who they feel like is going to have be remaining on staff or at least be locked in is Corey Raymond at DB coach. Everybody else right now, I think, is a bit up in the air. You'll want to see how Brian Kelly puts his staff together, but I am told that Kelly is expected. We're recording this in the morning. He's going to land this afternoon, that he'll be with family and some coaches that will come down on this flight. So we'll find out here pretty soon, at least a handful of guys who are coming with them, and kind of get to see from there how he builds out his staff. But I would say beyond Austin Thomas and then beyond Corey Raymond, that nothing's a lock right now.
And Mickey Joseph is supposed to, or at least had connections with Nebraska. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, I was going to say, yep, Mickey Joseph, finish your sentence really quick, is rumored to, you know, have an opportunity to head back to his alma mater, Nebraska, be the recruiting coordinator, be the wide receivers coach there as Scott Frost reworks his staff. Two names that at least, you know, you think might have a little bit of momentum to join Kelly, just from what we're seeing. And I know one's out there now. Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, is reportedly being pursued by LSU. To come on down. He's in his second season as Notre Dame's OC. He's the quarterback's coach. He was a former Irish quarterback. I mean, he's, you know, led them to a BCS national championship game appearance. He's really one of the bright young coaches that, you know, Sonny mentioned as Kelly kind of targeted and had on staff. So I'm interested to see if he's one that does in fact, come on down to Baton Rouge and join Kelly. There's obviously a lot of trust there because he was promoted pretty quickly through the ranks as he, came up. He went to Northwestern to be a GA, went with the Chargers for a season, and then went back to Notre Dame as the quarterback's coach and then was named the offensive coordinator for this year. So things move quickly for him as a play caller and a coordinator, and I would imagine he owes a lot of his early success to Brian Kelly.
Yeah, things are going to continue to move quick. I mean, by the time we recorded that Lincoln Riley podcast, it was almost outdated like a day later. So, Sonny, I guess you could wrap us up here. We are now from Nick Saban to Les Miles to Ed Orgeron to Brian Kelly. How excited are you about seeing the development of this program, and where do you think it can go over the next couple years, just in a general sense?
Well, I don't think that the program has slid as far as it may look like it has. You know, you look at 11-11 over the last 2 years, and don't get me wrong, because one reason that I love the Brian Kelly hire, he's a no-nonsense guy, but he's a guy who commands respect. And I think that this LSU team over the last 2 years, you go back, you look at all of the opt-outs, you look at all of the transfers, you look at all of the academic issues, you look at all of the other, you know, the guys getting suspended for undisclosed reasons that we can all speculate on what those reasons were. When you lump all of that stuff in together, I don't think that there is a culture problem. I think there are some problems in the culture. And so I don't think he has to totally revamp things. I don't think he has to come in and reinvent the wheel. But I do think that this program and this team that you've got over the last couple of years, we've seen what I consider too many instances where guys were playing for the three letters that represent Sundays instead of the three letters on their chest, which are LSU. And I think Brian Kelly, the type of person he is, the demeanor that he carries, the respect that he commands, he's going to figure out who those guys are very quickly. And they're either going to get on his path or they're going to find another path to the transfer portal. And I think you're going to see you're going to see some attitudes start to shift. And I think that's going to be a direct result of Brian Kelly's character and the way that he wants his team to be. And so from that standpoint, you know, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about seeing how he's going to be able to, you know, kind of shape up some of the disciplinarian problems that we've seen over the last couple of years. And even before that, you know, it wasn't like it was just with Ed Orgeron. I mean, things kind of, you know, Les Miles was completely different from Nick Saban. Ed Orgeron, completely different from both of those guys, although closer to probably Les Miles when it comes to, I guess, how he is. But I think Brian Kelly is going to be more of that Nick Saban and, you know, have more of that attitude. And so from that standpoint, I'm excited about the prospects of what he's going to do that's going to be able to help them kind of turn things around.
Yeah, I think the Nick Saban parallel is very interesting. I mean, also a guy who came from Michigan State, from that Midwest region, and comes down no nonsense, like you said. I mean, a lot of the stuff we've heard about Brian Kelly is, you know, he's not the he's the opposite of Ed Orgeron to a degree, right? He's not the come in here and you know, all loose and having fun and everything like that. He's on the graphic that LSU posted, he was frowning, and I think in all three pictures, and it was just like, all right. Let's get to it, Brian. But yeah, I think that's all we got, unless anybody has anything else to chip in. But we appreciate y'all for listening on the Go247 podcast. Again, if you're listening on a podcast, share it, follow, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe, comment, like, all that good stuff. We appreciate y'all for joining us. We have a lot, and I do mean a lot, of content on go247.com right now. So check out our site. If you're not a VIP, feel free to take advantage of. I believe we're doing a 1 month for a $1 offer still. We have that deal going, and we have a lot of free content up there as well. Everything you need to know about Brian Kelly, the new coach of LSU football. So we thank y'all for joining us, and we'll talk to y'all later.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island that got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.